Hello and welcome to The Herb Doctor with Dr. Dailish Clare and me, Katrina Hegarty. We are into our third podcast, and this is getting very exciting now that I have an idea of what I want to do. So how are you, Dailish?
Good, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How was your week?
Very good. I've been on holidays for a week.
But yes, nice. And holidays. We had Dailish on holidays. So that's why we've had no herb doctor until this week. So this is the beginning of our podcast. I want to kind of take it from a point of view that, as we spoke about the format, that I'm the new learner to all this. And I have some questions for you today. Regarding the whole idea of it, as I'm pressing my computer there. However, I just kind of want to kind of get us, the listener, into a nice kind of easygoing understanding of herbal medicine, okay? And herbs have been used to cure and treat ailments for thousands of years. Although they have fell out of favor after pharmaceuticals were invented, in recent times, herbal remedies have become popular again due to the affordability, the ease of access, and obviously compared to typical pharmaceuticals. And the intention for herbalists is to find the root cause of the condition and develop a treatment opinion individually designed for each patient. A herbalist will choose herbs based on physical and mental well-being and treat the symptoms described by the patient drug to the consultation. And before deciding to proceed with herbal treatment, I have 7 questions that are asked a lot. They are asked a lot and I want to get into them. So how are you feeling about that?
Good. I'm going to add 2 other dimensions to how we use the herbal medicines, and that's physical, mental, emotional. And, you know, over the last 5 to 7, 10 years, spiritual, where people are getting their spiritual resistance from. And the spirituality has actually got to do with connectivity, whether that's to a formalized religion or to their place in community, their place in the universe, because it's increasingly clear to me that connectivity and understanding how connected we are is really, really important for the younger generation coming through,
mm-hmm.
because many of them are missing the rituals and that I grew up with. And I think we've missed out a lot on that. So I increasingly ask people about where their spiritual resilience is coming from, or understanding. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great. We're going to take it into sections, obviously, the way you've said it. But I would like to kind of go through these questions to see, you know, how you feel about them.
Huh.
So the first question I'd like to ask would be, do you have a herb for any particular condition? Is there something out there for basically everything? As in, whether it be an itch, scratch, cut, whether it be more deeper for the person that might have different ailments. Herbs, can we use them all, basically?
I mean, the answer to that, the short answer is no.
Right.
the slightly longer answer is, I mean, there's almost no condition, itch, scratch, you know, digestion, mental unease or whatever, that chamomile wouldn't benefit, right? For the vast majority of people, okay? The other herb I would take would be dandelion root. In this era where we're all overstuffed with undernutritious food and disconnected from our environment, I think dandelion root stimulates the bile and helps the gut microbiome. So both of those are very beneficial, because gut is core to our health, and the connection between bile, gut and mental ease is, as opposed to dis-ease or discomfort. So the answer is we don't treat conditions.
Okay.
So I'll maybe come back to that because I imagine it might be better answered to another question
sure.
later. And I'll already have answered this bit. So no and yes.
So just reading down through the rest of these questions here. Does herbal medicine work? Does it work?
Yes. People ask me, why do I use herbal medicines? And I say, because herbs work.
Okay. They do work.
Katrina, when I started out in herbal medicine, I was the total and ultimate skeptic.
Really?
I was a poster child for evidence-based medicine.
Wow.
All of my analytics for my general practice showed that I was in all the right parameters for using preventative inhalers and low use of anxiolytics and using... Now, these are all necessary. I've known this is...
Mm-hmm.
This was good. This is good practice according to evidence-based medicine. It remains good practice according to evidence-based medicine. So I took it well on board. I got into herbal medicine by a totally circuitous route of not intending to change my medical practice because I like nature, I like plants. When I was a teenager, I was up wandering around the Sugarloaf Mountain and walking on the beach, and that was my solace. And I love words. I loved the Latin words.
Mm-hmm.
You do a rhyme for me of Achillium milliforium and Upatorium perforatum and Collinsonia whatever, you know, Anthemus vulgaris, and these, you just have to say those names, and I can't. So when it came to learning about the herbal medicine in my practice with very experienced medical herbalists, thanks to Margaret Thatcher, which is a whole other story. In my own general practice, my patients were coming back, well, overwhelmingly saying they felt better. And these were patients I'd looked after for 10 years, and they had chronic problems presenting to me as a GP.
Yeah.
And when I started using the herbal medicines under the guidance of these experts, they just kept coming back and telling me they felt better.
Good. That's great.
No, it was terrible.
No? Okay. Wrong.
So I had to completely change my practice accordingly. You know, so I had to completely change my practice accordingly. And then I committed to coming back to Ireland. And I mean, I was 6 months setting up and arranging the clinic and whatever. And halfway through that time, I was thinking, Jesus, I hope I wasn't misguided, you know.
Yeah.
Like I panicked and thought, Jesus.
Really? Did you really panic about it?
Because I kind of lost the thread and I'd left my general practice and I was in a bit in limbo, you know. And so I was very relieved when I set up the clinic. Oh, that's okay. They still work. They work on Irish people too, as well as English people. The clinic took off big time. So do herbs work? I would say, and you can say that this is anecdotal, right? This is my individual experience, but it's also the experience of hundreds of other herbalists who are practicing on a regular basis. Even if they had no more than the placebo effect, I would still be earning my keep because they've no side effects or very few side effects. The side effects are very minimal with the herbs that most herbalists use. So, is that enough of an
answer? Absolutely, yeah. That's very insightful. I'm seeing this as a learning curve for me personally.
Yeah.
Learning about this. And I at the end of the day, it's interesting to understand. I've always had a question about herbal medicine going, does it work? You know, but there wouldn't be loads of shops and different people devoting their lives to it and devoting their careers to it like your good self if it doesn't. The other question that, you know, I'd like to know would be...
I'll just say your answer to that last bit where you're saying it mightn't work because otherwise people wouldn't be doing
it.
Yeah. That's not quite true, you know, but I think because we can all be deluded.
Yes, you know, okay.
We can all kind of convince ourselves of things that we want to believe. But I would say that the evidence goes back, it's anecdotal for hundreds of herbalists practicing now, millions practicing over thousands of years. But there's so much scientific evidence now that backs up virtually all of the scientific evidence about constituents, about actions, about safety, all back up the traditional medicine. And the traditional medicine in one area of the world that never communicated with another area of the world, right, because the oceans and whatever, they use herbs with the same range of constituents, different plants, but the same range of constituents for the same kinds of medical presentations, right? Which was a study done by Kew Gardens, where they compared the herbs used for different manifestations of illness in five independent, not cross-linked, when all of these remedies were being devised, right, were being observed. It's observational science, empirical science, now backed up by a vast amount of scientific evidence.
Can I also just say, though, from my own growing up in rural Donegal, I remember, as my mother is a lot older than me in terms of a huge generational gap, I do remember growing up over the years where, you know, there might be an issue wrong with digestion or something in the house. And my mum would always say, oh, Annie down the road used to have this thing for, you know, for better digestion, or, you know, it might be the plant of something outside in the garden or something.
Yeah.
And there would have been a lot of that as well.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, people passing on information to people and that as well over the years. And I suppose from my own experience with my mother would know a lot of these little different things over different periods of time, where she'd always use like the nettle sting, getting leaves and rubbing out the sting, and it works. Or I remember once I got stung by a bee on the bus going to Donegal with my aunt, and she brought me in and he treated me not with medication in the chemist. He brought me out the back and he I don't know what kind of flower he gave me, but he treated me for the sting of the bee on the bus. And I was only very young at the time.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, over the years and generations, there was a lot of that.
Absolutely.
You know,
people in countrysides and in inner city slums and poor areas couldn't afford medicine. Medicine was devised for the well off. And hence herbal medicine became associated with poverty.
Right.
So a lot of the resistance, especially in Ireland, where we so recently became a republic, we wanted the medicine of the big house, and it was clean and sterile, and it came with the white coat, and we trusted that because that was the big house medicine, if you like, with delivered by the doctor with the Gladstone bag and the
yeah, of course,
and that was authority. So a lot of the claim to benefits of orthodox medicine comes from an authority basis, right, rather than a scientific basis.
Mm-hmm.
This was because the science model, the evidence-based model is only 60 years old. Evidence of observation and empirical science is ancient, right? We've been learning and devising. We didn't just suddenly leap to pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's a lot of history in there.
There's a whole book in there. I suppose kind of moving on to kind of looking through the questions that I have for you. Do you know, I would you have different people coming to you going, oh, I've read this herb works for this?
Yeah.
And, you know, what would your advice be there if somebody came in to you?
Yeah, I mean, people do that. We have a retail clinic with the shop with all individual herbs and individual tinctures and blends of herbs. So often people come in, and so long as there's no restriction on it, we go, yeah, fine, great, away, come back and tell us how you got us. And often they've read it because it is based on traditional knowledge. And the longer I'm in practice, the more I value traditional knowledge because it has stood the test of time. So I would want very good reasons not to be guided by traditional use of herbs.
When it comes to the likes of digestion, herbs, obviously, you know, different things that are put into different cookery. Putting herbs into, say, fresh cooking, would that also help with, you know, any ailments that somebody might have, whether it be, you know, constipation, digestion, whatever, problems with swallowing, whatever it may be?
Yeah.
In cooking, obviously, would this work?
Absolutely. There's no dividing line between food, herbs, and medicinal herbs, right? Food herbs and medicinal herbs. And often, so I advise all my patients during the winter to use thyme, sage, and garlic because they're antimicrobial,
mm-hmm.
right? We live in a very damp climate. Ireland is full of winter bugs, even more so than the UK or other Northern European countries because it's such damp. So they're very good. Garlic is very heating in the winter as well. Cayenne is another one that's very heating. I advise people to use nigella seeds as an anti-inflammatory. It's very rich in quercetin. So anything, any of these things that you add, turmeric, of course, is anti-inflammatory and anti-cancer from about six different perspectives or modes of actions. So there's so much reason to use these. Rosemary tea is very calming, but it's not sedating. It's very good for the cardiovascular system. It's normalizing. And this is one of the concepts of herbal medicine, that it normalizes homeostasis, or as I call it, homeodynamics. Nothing stays still in the body. Nothing stays still in the world. So I don't know how the word stasis got in there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm loving that. It's a refreshing change to listen to you because, you know, you'd go, like you said, you'd go into the chemist and you'd buy something for constipation, for example, and it's in a tablet form. But it is interesting to know what to use from a herbal point of view to help you, where you're not putting chemicals into your body, obviously, from that point of view.
And the food herb comes in because you say to people, eat one or two prunes and use psyllium husks.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you can get psyllium husks in the chemist, but for some reason, they're day glow orange.
Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know. Because everything is sweetened with these artificial sweeteners.
Oh, right. I get you. Yeah.
Because they don't believe that people will take it if it's not saccharinized or, you know, whatever sugar substitute they use. Yeah.
So for somebody who's listening to us for the first time, and like myself, and kind of trying to learn about all this, go back on the four main, you know, because you're talking about the wet climate. Cayenne pepper is number one. Turmeric's another one. Garlic's another one.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something else.
Sage and thyme are antimicrobial, particularly for the winter months. Yeah, sage is very good for anybody kind of post-viral who has a brain fog. And it's also very good for the menopause. So you're saying, is there one herb for every condition that cures everything? I would say no. But because herbs, and this was a mystery to me, because when I started herbal medicine, they were saying that echinacea is good for the immune system. It's good for snake bites. It's an American herb. It's good for autoimmune conditions.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for lots of different. It's also an alterative. It helps with elimination. And I was going, oh, come on. What do you mean? I now understand that this is because there's hundreds of constituents. 15 to 20 might have medicinal active effects. 3 of them might be toxic. 5 of them might neutralize the toxins. So it's the whole herb that's important. And many of them are nutritious because they've got minerals in them. Herbalists would also recognize the living energy that's stored in a plant that's prepared for medicine or for food. So the herbs have multiple constituents, multiple actions, therefore they're applied in lots of different ways. Whether if I'm using them as a medicine, I use them in consistent doses over a specific period of time. And that's what differentiates them from food, where you might have here or there on Tuesday and then 2 weeks later or whatever. But people should make friends with their spice cabinets and their herbal suppliers and be using these in parsley. Parsley is full of nutrients, and it's also an eliminative through the kidneys. But Irish people like them decorating on top of the plate of sandwiches, and they leave them behind. Sorry, this is very cultural specific, isn't it?
Yes. I know, but it is aimed at us living in Ireland, really, at the moment. We can go further afield.
Oh, no, Katrina, this is for every bull-wise world.
Yeah, we can go further afield. I've heard of the web. No, I haven't.
Okay,
so another question that I had for you. Can I learn to use herbs in my own way, or is there always a specific way to use them?
No, there's a myriad ways of using them. For instance, St. John's wort. John's wort is a lovely herb. It helps the quality of sleep. It calms the nervous system. It's also antiviral. So we use it for all of those. And some people might use it if they're depressed, because obviously if we enhance sleep and it nourishes the brain, it acts as a platform, most likely. It doesn't act on any one particular nervous transmitter, but it acts on a platform. And this is so that each body individually, because each body is an individual, unique physiological system, right? Biochemistry, energy, vibration, everybody is unique. So everybody chooses what they need. For some people, they might need it for anxiety. For some people, they might need it for sleep. For some people, they might need it to recover from the shingles, which affects the nervous system and the virus. And depending on people's knowledge, they can come in and say, oh, every year I get SAD, the seasonal affective disorder. Can I take it from October to February? Sure. It's a lovely herb. It's a safe herb. I will talk about herb-drug interactions with St. John's wort in a separate podcast.
Yes.
But make sure you check it out in the meantime, because the web will have you worried about any medication. Most St. John's crude plant St. John's wort has a much safer profile than you'll read about on the network. But we'll dedicate a whole podcast.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So I think you're getting the drift that it's a wide network, and some people would take it 1-3 times a day for the whole winter. Some people only need it at night. Some people take it 3 times a day for anxiety, particularly if they're traveling on planes and whatever causes them anxiety. Some people take one a day throughout the whole year, and it just gives them that little bit of stabilizing. Other people use it for a few days from about 2 weeks coming up to stressful events like a wedding.
Right? Stressful event.
Exactly. Yeah. Excitement is also stressful for the body. That's why kids get sick and vomit on Christmas Eve, because Santa's coming.
Yeah.
So stress isn't always negative.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a big change. So that gives you an idea of how people, it's called titration. You titrate it against what your needs are. So if people are feeling very low in spirits, they might use it continuously for 3 months, and then they might use it twice a day, and then they might use it once a day. And then they might recognize how their lives are going, and they might go, you know, this is when I get low in spirits, when I'm in confrontation with somebody or I'm not meeting my goals at work, and that's when I get down, and then that feeling down makes everything worse. So they start when they recognize. This is how to use herbs, I say to people when they come and see me as a herbalist, I say, this is a diploma in your own health.
Mm-hmm.
The original meaning of doctor as docere in Latin is to teach. And an awful lot of what we do is teaching, right?
Yes.
And mentoring. Mentoring people's own understanding of what they want to do. So the patients set the targets, right? And then we mentor them and adjust them and how's the herb going? Compliance needs mentoring, because do the herbs taste nice? You have tasted some of them.
Not all of them.
You mean you found one that did taste nice? That's the surprise. And that in itself is a learning point, because the bitters in the herbs, which make the blends taste bitter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't choose my herbal tea blends according to whether they taste nice. I choose them according to what the person needs them to do.
Yeah, the properties of them, obviously.
The properties. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great, you're speaking like a herbalist already.
There you go. See? Da-da.
Okay.
We look forward to you joining us on this journey of exploration and learning with the herbal doctor, Dr. Dealish Clare. And we'll be back with you very soon. So thank you very much, and stay tuned.